devil trying to keep people from doing the Lord's work this morning is a good example of that, because it started out rough and we're up and running. So thank you all for being here this morning. I know for me it feels like it's been an eternity since I've been standing before you with all the holidays and the sicknesses going on and stuff. This is almost a new experience for me. So thank you all for being here. As we get started, before we get started, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most heavenly, gracious Heavenly Father, we are very thankful for this Lord's Day. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity and the privilege to wake up knowing that we are a family as Christians, that we have made a covenant with you through the watery baptism to be a part of your family. And with that, Father, we have made and committed ourselves to be soldiers of Christ, to be spiritual warriors, to go out into the world, that not only to teach and preach and to spread the gospel, but to stand firm in our faith, to not be ashamed of that in which we believe, and to take the fight to the devil. Thank you for having our back. Thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ that pray for each other, that pray for strength, to pray for courage. And thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for this avenue of prayer. And as we petition you to hear this prayer today, we ask that you will accept it as a fragrant offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Back to our spiritual warfare. And you'll have to excuse me. I'll try to get through this the best I can. What have we learned so far when it comes to our spiritual warfare, this conflict? It is. Never stops. What else? Whose side are we on? The winning side. We are. We're on the winning side. Now, it would be a little different making this presentation to a high school class or to a young adults class. But making a presentation like this to a class that is of senior members, how does that put us in a different category than maybe a high school class or a young adult class? The battle's the same, but as far as we go, we're tried and true, aren't we? We've overcome obstacles and temptations that the younger generations probably have to deal with a little bit more than what we have to concern ourselves at our age. But does that take us off the hot seat? No, it doesn't. You see, the devil doesn't have to sleep. He doesn't have to eat. He doesn't have to take a break. He's actively pursuing us all the time. We have to be prepared every day. As we develop our Christianity, as we take that step from milk to more solid food, and as we let our life experiences temper us, and as we overcome the challenges and temptations, now we're at an age to where we have wisdom to back up our knowledge. I've asked this before, but how many of us here are retired? A majority of us. Now, we just assume when I say retired from the daily responsibilities we took on to provide for our family, to take care of our bills, to be a productive citizen. But how many of us here are retired from Christianity? How many of us here are able to sit back in our lounge chair and put our feet up on the ottoman and go, man, I fought a good fight. I get to kick back now and kind of relax and watch the world go by. Is that how it works? No. No, it doesn't. We are challenged every day. No matter where we are and what stage of life, we have challenges. We have temptations. We have situations that happen to us. That a majority of it involves the devil. It involves his demons. It involves his attempt to divert our attention from the cross and cause us to stumble. We deal with life's challenges all the time. We get informed of heartbreak and heartache. Some of it to the point to where it just takes the wind out of our sails. The devil counts on that. The devil is waiting to pounce at that moment when we're at our weakest. When we're at a point to where we're on our knees, and we're struggling. He's going to be the one with the piece of candy going, hey, it's not so bad if you come with me. The tiniest. It doesn't have to be a crack or a fissure. Just that little bit of doubt. Just that little bit of hesitation. Just that moment in time where we go, is it worth being a Christian? You would think with us being seniors, we would be immune to that. We would have built up an armor that is so thick, so strong, that we can deflect those arrows of temptations, those arrows of doubt. But inwardly, we still have our own personal struggles. Inwardly, we still deal with our own individual weaknesses. That's our kink. That's the area that we have to be more concerned about all the time. That's the due diligence we have to participate and pay attention to so that we don't fall to those temptations, so that we don't stumble over those weaknesses that we deal with. Our scripture that is kind of the theme throughout this quarter is, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Every day we wake up, we have to ready ourselves. When we left off, and it might be a little while, we don't remember, our next subject matter that we were going to talk about is the spiritual warrior, what he looks like, and what he needs to have on. What is the spiritual warrior to you as an individual? This isn't rhetorical. I'd kind of like to get your opinion on it. If I was to look out amongst you and go, you guys are the best spiritual warriors I've seen ever, ever. What image comes to your mind of what I'm looking at? Yes. We're focused on the cross, aren't we? So who is he? Who is she? Who is the spiritual warrior? All of us. Every one of us. Every one of us that took the step to go in that baptismal pool, to be totally immersed and brought up out of that water as a new babe in Christ. It's not just lip service. We made a covenant with God that we would fill the obligations or responsibilities set forth before us in the Bible. We made a promise and a covenant to God that we do our very best to be the best spiritual warrior we can be. How many of us have never failed at that? Our struggle is that we try to be the best we can. The human part of us gives us two left feet sometimes. We get tripped up. We stumble. We take advantage of the doubt that the devil puts in our hearts, our minds, and our soul. Sometimes the burden, that millstone, is so large on our neck and our shoulders that we can't look past it. And we forget that Scripture tells us that we are not given any more than what we can handle. And that if we pray, eventually God will take care of us. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope for your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. We made a commitment. And just as we made a commitment, God has made a commitment to us. He has told us that he will be with us always. When we find ourselves empty and alone, who's turned away? Has God turned his back on us, or have we fallen off the path of righteousness? That's the struggle, Jim. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Have you ever heard somebody say, I am my own worst enemy? Yeah. That's the internal struggle. That's being human. Yeah. And isn't that the devil in our ear? Yeah. Wasn't that kind of what the devil spoke to Eve in the garden? Don't worry about it. Yeah. Right. Yeah, we want to be sure that we don't misunderstand arrogance with confidence. As senior members, as senior Christians, we should have the wisdom of us about us to know that what we have is the confidence in the Lord. And that confidence gives us the strength to stand firm in our faith and to take the fight to the devil, to embrace it, to bring it on head on. Knowing, one, that we're on the winning team, knowing, two, that we are given the best equipment. And we have the best coach. Spiritual warrior. What is he told to do? What is she told to do? What are we told to do? Go out to teach and preach and spread the gospel. Now, does he tell us to do that in our nakedness? No. What does he tell us to do? Ephesians 6:11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one. Therefore, take up the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So God doesn't say, well, thank you, my child, for wanting to be on my team. Then does he pat us on the head, pushes out the door and says, go get him, tiger? No. There's a little boot camp involved there. There's a little bit of conditioning. And then we have to go and get suited up. Yeah. Keith, if you were to send some of your defensive linemen, put them in the trench without pads or helmet. They just had their workout shorts, t-shirt, and cleats. How long are they going to survive against the other guy? Not long at all. Not long at all. So we can be confident, we can be reassured that because we are fighting the fight every day, and I want to reiterate this, we don't have a choice. We made a commitment when we were baptized to become a Christian. And because of that commitment, that fight comes to us every day, whether we want it to or not. And so God says, okay, I'm going to suit you up. I'm going to fit you with a suit of armor that will do everything it needs to give you the greatest chance for success. When David was at the battlefront talking with his brothers, and he was kind of arrogantly scolding them, like, what are you guys doing? You've been here how long? And nobody's gone out there to defeat this guy, this uncircumcised individual? Finally, the brothers capitulated and they said, all right, we'll let you go fight him, but before you go out there, you need to put some armor on. Now, they had good intentions, but the intentions were detrimental to what David could do or how he could function. Here he had this belt that was probably bigger than him, so large that he probably had to do a double wrap and a tuck. And then he had a breastplate and then maybe a helmet and a sword that was probably as tall as he was. And so could you look at this disheveled little guy over there with the helmet crooked, the weight of the breastplate hanging off of one shoulder, dragging a sword, thinking, what am I doing with all this stuff on? So he shakes it off and he goes, guys, I have the Lord on my side. He's giving me the ability and the strength to defeat a lion and a bear. He's on my side now. It's not me who's going to defeat this Philistine. It's the Lord. I'm just the tool. So he goes out there in his tunic, a sling, kneels down into the river, brings up five smooth stones, and he goes out there. And with a short period of time, he dispatches Goliath. He used the tools he was familiar with, but he went with the courage and the understanding that God was with him. We are instructed today to put on the armor of God. What does spiritual warrior look like? What does he look like? What does she look like? What do we look like in this suit of armor? And what does it consist of? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having putting on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. That's the key. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. In those few sentences, God has given us everything we need to be a strong, confident, effective spiritual warrior. And if we're all dressed the same, with the same attitude, with the same mentality, with the same fortitude, we become an army that is indestructible. Now, we all have been through Bible class and been through the Bible lesson where we have the pictures of all these individual pieces. Then as we become mature and stepped up, a lot of you ladies have taught classes where you had maybe the felt stickies or the color pictures of all these pieces of the armor that are needed to create a warrior, a spiritual warrior. As we get older, sometimes we neglect to go back and reread these scriptures to remind us exactly what a spiritual warrior should look like. Because as we go through life, we are so busy focused on taking care of these individual fires, if you may, that encompass us daily. Excuse me. Whether it's our struggles, whether it's just the responsibilities we've taken on to provide for our family, to pay our bills, so on and so forth. That if we're not dedicating every day a specific amount of time to be in the Scripture, then our spiritual armor will start to tarnish. Just because we have donned the spiritual armor doesn't give us a free pass. It doesn't guarantee our success in the battle. Just having the armor on, it's not enough. There's responsibilities that come with it. There's requirements of us that we need to take challenges of daily, so that we don't become complacent, so that we don't become discouraged, so that we don't become unpleasant to be around. As Christians, we are to walk the walk, talk the talk. Christ is supposed to be not only in our life, but in our vocabulary. If that's not the case, especially at this time in our lives, then we have challenges before us. Because if we don't know the Scriptures to where they are ingrained and are engraved in our heart, then our salvation is still in jeopardy. Because I guarantee you, the devil knows the Scripture just as good as Jesus Christ. That is where we struggle. Because the only way we're going to be successful against temptations, especially the temptations that poke and prod at our own individual weaknesses, is how versed and knowledgeable we are in the Scripture. I've used this example before. If you see a young quarterback that hasn't had the battle experience of being in situations where he's not sure of, as the pocket begins to collapse around him and he tries to find a way out, all of a sudden his focus narrows down. He's unable to see the entire field of play, and by that time his feet start to dance, start to shuffle as if they don't know what to do. Christianity is the same way. If we are confronted with temptations and Satan is prodding and poking at us, and we don't know the Scriptures well enough that we can't stand firm and rebuttal, then we start to shake and shimmy. We either get mad because we don't know the right answer, or worse yet, we say nothing at all and we just fall to the wayside. We have to be prepared. So by having the suit of armor on, there are responsibilities in keeping it clean, keeping it maintained, keeping your sword, which is the one only offensive piece of the entire armor, keeping it sharp. Put on the armor of God. There are several pieces. They all individually do one thing, but collectively they give you a complete protection of that in which the devil is going to challenge us at. Now, I know this may be a little bit on the adolescent side when it comes to going through this, but I think reviewing this is something that we will glean some information out and may help boost our courage, our strength, and our ability to overcome the difficulties that we face at this time. The belt represents truth. Truth is critical in developing a solid biblical foundation. We must be able to withstand the attack from the father of lies. If we know the truth, if we know the word, then we know who or what is telling us a lie. We know if they're telling us what's true in the scripture. If we don't know God's word, and I put a question mark in there, what's going to happen? Yeah. We'll start to doubt ourselves. We'll start to doubt our ability. We'll start to doubt the decision we made to become a Christian. And that is a kiss of death. Good moral character is the key to a Christian soldier. Truth here is integrity. If we're able to stand toe-to-toe with the devil and defeat his lies and do it with integrity, then we will be an example for not only our brothers and sisters to see and to be encouraged, but for the world to see that we truly are a different people. With knowledge of God's word, we can fight with confidence and authority. Can you imagine being at the front line of a legion of soldiers and you got one guy next to you and all you hear is rattle. And down in this little faint whispery voice, he's going, "What am I doing here? What am I doing here? What was I thinking?" What does it say about the weakest link in a chain? That's where you're going to have trouble. We cannot be the weakest link. If we do, it not only affects us, but it affects the people who are around us who are relying on each other to hold the front line. The belt had to be wide and thick. It not only held up the weight of the leather straps that protected the lower parts of the body, it also carried the weight of the sword and the dagger. The breastplate of righteousness. This is not the righteousness of Christ so much as it is the practical righteous character of deeds of the believers. We have righteousness in us. But when we don the armor of God, we put a breastplate of righteousness on us. And that breastplate is example and reflective of our own internal Christianity, our integrity. The Roman-style breastplate wrapped all the way around the entire body, providing total protection from front to back. Now, if you look at some of the historical pictures of the Israelites or the Hebrew armor, they just had a breastplate that was held by a couple of leather straps and it just hung in front of them. We are now in the army of God. And God has taken the extra step to totally enclose us and wrap us in a body of armor that will give us total and complete protection. Not just a little bit. So we're even protected if the enemy flanks us and comes around and does a surprise sneak attack from behind. We have some more protection. I know this might be a little elementary, but yet it applies to us today in that We don our armor every day that we get up. And that suit of armor has to be taken care of. The shoes. It was important back then that the Romans or anybody who was in the army had a good pair of shoes. Sandals was basically the shoe of the custom at that time. And if anybody knows when you've bought a brand new pair of leather shoes, that leather can be slick. You get out on the concrete or asphalt parking lot, you can slip around. So I don't know if your dads or granddads taught you like they did me, but they taught me, go out in the gravel, work those shoes in there and cut them up a little bit and, you know, break up that smooth leather and stuff to give you some traction. Well, the Romans had a custom of taking spikes or steel nails and driving them through their sandals and then cutting them off short so that they would give them a little bit more protection, kind of give them a little bit better grip. In addition to protecting their feet in some of the war tactics that the other guys would do in trying to keep a legion of Roman soldiers from marching. You know, they would throw out stuff in the way, you know, to get them to stumble and stuff like that. So the shoe was very important. A soldier with good shoes is a confident warrior. He can concentrate on the battle, keep his eyes looking forward, and not having to look down at his feet. As we face the enemy, we can have the peace of mind about us that we can look forward, that we can have a situational awareness and knowing of what's going on all around us. This just came to me, and I can't. This goes hand in hand with knowing the scriptures. Oh my goodness. It was about the army that was at the watering hole, and God told them to take a look at how they drank the water. And you had some of them that knelt down on all four knees, put their faces in, brought the water. And then you had some that knelt down that brought the water to their mouth without looking down, and they were always aware of their surroundings. God said, take those men. And you just said it, sneaky. I mean, he's relentless. He's around us all the time, and his demons and his helpers, and they'll take every advantage they can and opportunity to find that kink and that chink in the armor. So we have to be aware. So having good footwear made a good soldier. Faith is the shield. And if you notice, the Roman shield was a large shield, and it was wide, and it was somewhat concaved, so that as you brought it in close, you could spin it around to one side so you could fight with your spear or your sword and still have protection even around to the back. The Romans had a particular maneuver they called the turtle, in which the front line would place their shields in front of them, and the remaining soldiers would pull their shield up overhead and to the side and have a complete shield of armor. It was very helpful to protect them in the onslaught of an arrow attack, or if they were close to a fortified structure in which people would throw arrows, spears, or rocks down on them. The shield is faith. It gives us protection. The shield is large and strong. It protects us from temptation. The devil or wicked one will attack us. The fiery darts are temptations that apply to our weaknesses. These are violent temptations that can create deep wounds to the soul by which the soul is set on fire. He ain't playing. He's serious. And he's going to do everything he can to take our soul away from our Lord and Savior. The helmet. The devil will attack our heart. Our heart, our mind, and our soul is what he's after. The helmet protects our head. This is where we decide between right and wrong. When we come to that crossroads and we have to stand there and we have to go, what do I do? That's when the devil is on our shoulder whispering, and telling us, hey, it ain't so bad. Or telling us, you'll be better off. When we decide to become a Christian, the devil targets our mind to try to and change it. He will use every tactic to entice us back into the world. The word. This is the only offensive weapon in our entire suit of armor. We must make the knowledge of God's word written on our soul. The devil has an intimate knowledge of God's word. That's the danger. The devil can even take the form of an angel of light to lead us away from the truth. As Christian warriors, we need to have the same level of knowledge to test the truth. Let's go to Matthew 7, 5. I'm getting close. I would like to read this one real quick. Matthew 7, 5. It says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your eye, and that you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I'm sorry, 15. That didn't sound right. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And then the one in 2 Corinthians is about the devil representing himself as an angel of light. We have to be prepared to make the challenge and just know what the truth is. All right, we'll continue next week. Thank you all for your patience and your attention.